There's another part to that song that says, when the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. It is in this moment that I pour libation to the great Thomas Dorsey, who composed it, to my Uncle Travis, who used to sing this before he preached. I think of Mahalia Jackson as she would sing this song with such conviction and life. It would be better if I brought the Bible with me. Ashe. I think of my ancestors when I hear this song. I appreciate this arrangement as I used to sing it in college. And I also remember Dr. Glenn Halsey, who was my vocal coach in college. I can use this one now? Thank you. And I am reminded of who I am and who I am becoming by the Eternal's grace. Our text for today is from Luke, the 6th chapter, 17 through 26. And it reads as such. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were touching and trying to touch him, for power came out of him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Now, I know there is a question in the midst. How did she get today's sermon title of "For Color Girls When the Blessings Just Ain't Enough"? That is a good question. Again, Jean needed a title for the bulletin. But we will circle back to that. Let's just sit by the waters and look at this text real quick. What happened before this particular pericope? According to Luke, his disciples were going through the grain fields on a Sabbath. They were hungry. They were criticized for working on the Sabbath. Jesus was ostracized for healing a man on another Sabbath. The church folk talked about him behind his back. He then chooses 12 for his inner circle out of this, the whole of the disciples. And now we are at the selection of the text where the people followed him, not just his disciples, not just the Jews, but it appears people followed him along the coastline. They just follow. They followed him in mass to hear him and to be healed of their diseases with those who had unclean spirits. And yes, they were cured. Now, before I go any further, I want it clear that one day we are going to talk about who wrote it first. Who wrote this story first? Mark, Matthew, Luke, the infamous Q, and where was John's story about this? We're going to talk about how the second beatitude in Luke mirrors the fourth in Matthew. Wait in me a little bit longer, people. Certainly, we can go to the lexicon to find out what the word woe truly means in the Greek. In my research, I saw the word. I just can't pronounce it yet, seeing as I have not had Greek yet until next year. What was it on a mountain? Was he on a plane? This is an account of reversals. Blessed are the poor, the hungry, those who weep, those who are reviled and defamed. Woes are the rich, the full, those who laugh, those of whom all shall speak well. And yes, I see the reversals that Luke presents, because Luke is a man of reversals in his editor of his presentation of biblical texts. The poor who have nothing will have the kingdom of God. The hungry will be filled. Those who weep will laugh. Those who are reviled will have a great reward in heaven. The rich have already received their consolation and should expect no more. Those who laugh now, we're going to cry later. Those of whom all speak well will be shown to be no better than false prophets of old. And was it really a sermon, considering the sermon word was not a norm for that day at that time in ancient history? We can do that in Bible study sometime next month. But today I would like to you, for the time that is ours and quite briefly, that I had never noticed this particular text and discovered the title for Colored Girls When the Blessings Just Ain't Enough when I put next to it the poem for Flora by Nikki Giovanni. I noticed that both texts gave me the bodily experience of aha, as at the end of the poem for Flora, you see, she had a moment of reversal. Sheba, black and comely, read black and beautiful. Then wanting to be like that got me to thinking, how else can this text be viewed? Goodness knows I've heard this preach 50-11 times, different ways for Sunday, and I've never paid attention to verse 20. Verse 20 said, then he looked up at his disciples and said, then he proceeded to say what he said, the blessings and the woes. What was that moment of pause? Could it be that Jesus was tired? Could it be that his virtue had depleted so much that he needed a boost to continue the ministry that he was performing? This was not a super spiritual moment according to Luke, as affirming poverty, and nor was it a matter of economic justice. Being poor and without is not the blessing of an ideal Christian experience, and certainly not for colored girls. Colored girls who have to make a dollar out of 15 cents to make ends meet. Colored girls who do the same work for less pay. Colored girls whose voices are neglected and negated, Minister Courtney, when they are abused, raped, and violated. So blessed are the women of color, for they shall be benefactors of the reversal. Blessed are the allies who will be hated for their work and support of the margins, and particularly women of color. For this new life they have responded to will be deemed as lonely. So blessed are the allies who find community with like-minded people to do the work of not just financially blessing people, poor people, but providing ideas and winning adventures so that the poor people can not only survive but thrive. Women of color will rise in true equal status. So woe to the companies who make billions off the backs of the working poor while not having to pay a dime in taxes. Woe to the people trafficking little black girls right along the Illinois Central Line, for they shall meet their doom. Woe to the people who find folly at the disappearance and murder of trans women. Woe to the people who continue to run this planet into the ground, for it is not theirs, and they will not come to a good end if we keep mistreating the planet such as we are doing. Oh, but my woman is not, mine is not quite finished, but almost. I posit that this moment was not for the people, but for Jesus to bring back into remembrance why he was doing what he was doing. This Christ-like way of social justice is a weighty life, and those who travel and live it will get tired. The passage says to me, Antonia, that while the land is due for a role reversal, that the rehearsing of who we are and what ministry we are called to answer will strengthen us for the journey. That while depleted and without energy, we can still speak prophetically into the land. Yes, this work is trying and will sap the life out of an individual. And some scholars even kind of agree with me, suggesting that this was a moment of holding sacred memory as referenced in the scripture of Deuteronomy 11:26-28 that says, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today. And the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn from the way that I am commanding you today to follow other gods that you have not known." So what was Jesus' commandment from God? Let's go back. Luke 4:18-19 says, "The spirit of when he went to the temple and opened up the scroll and said, 'This is what I'm supposed to do.' The spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recover of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus, after days of ministry and ridicule, looked to the disciples who were his followers, his mirror, and said, "This is why I do what I do. This is why I am here." Why are you here? Why are you even doing this? Just because it's the right thing to do? That's good, but is there a higher purpose? Recently, I have had to do the same thing. I had to look into the eyes of my inner circle and remind myself that I am black and that I am beautiful. I am his daughter and her heartbeat. I am created in the image of God who was called. I am called to preach. I am called to teach. I am called to love. I am called to be a helper and a keeper of secrets. I am the undaunted widow. I am black cotton. I shall speak with a prophetic voice, and my singing shall heal. I will have the finances to help the poor. I am anxious for nothing. I pray without ceasing. I am a room shaker and an injustice breaker. I am the head and not the tail. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me I shall condemn, because it is my inheritance of the Lord. That is why I am here. Why are you here? Take a moment reflect, bring into sacred memory that you are here to be joyful, making joyful noises unto the Lord. All of you lands, you are here to serve the Lord with gladness. You are here to come before God's presence with singing. Don't you know that you are God's? It is of God that you are made, and you are not yourselves. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. So as we continue to enter into the gates of thanksgiving in our daily walks and enter into God's courts with praise in our daily devotions, let us continue to be thankful unto God and continue to bless God's name. Why? Because God is so good. God is good. God's mercy is everlasting, and God's truth endures generation to generation to generation. Jesus had Jesus' mission. What's yours? As we continue to listen to the word of God still speaking in our hearts, I would like for you to ponder, why aren't the blessings enough? Do the work to find out. What are the reversals of the injustice that you see? What are your affirmations that you can draw on to give you strength for this journey?